Taylor Thorpe was a normal, active 2-year-old when she suddenly stopped talking. She had hit all the development markers, walking at age 1 and speaking some simple words a few months later. But then something happened and Taylor shut down. Her mom, Anne, went looking for answers.
Because we were told that she had a speech impediment. And we took her to speech therapy for almost a year, and it didn't seem to work.
Taylor was 4 years old and still not talking when she came to Bright Beginnings, a 5-star daycare in West Cary. Thorpe is a single mom and works the night shift as a building supervisor in downtown Raleigh and couldn't afford the $800 a month tuition. So she applied and was accepted into More at 4, which covered the cost. After a few weeks at Bright Beginnings, the teachers there had a hunch about Taylor. They arranged for her to get tested, and a short time later, their guess was confirmed. Taylor was autistic.
So if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have even thought about autism or, you know, because the doctors never said anything, so.
More at 4 is an academic program that began in 2001. It serves at-risk 4-year-olds and currently costs North Carolina about $170 million a year. Smart Start is more comprehensive, serving children and their families from birth to age 5. It costs nearly $200 million a year and includes health screenings, dental care, and training programs for about 31,000 kids. Much of the funding comes from the state lottery. Advocates say these programs help reduce remediation, dropouts, even incarceration rates later in life. Research on the More at 4 program by the Frank Porter Graham Child Development Institute at UNC Chapel Hill confirms that poor children that came through the program do better academically in third grade than poor children who weren't in More at 4. Both programs were started by Democratic governors, Jim Hunt and Mike Easley. Bev Perdue says she's the caretaker of the programs, and she vows to fight for them.
I'm part of the history of Smart Start. I'm fundamentally committed to the program. I will work with these advocates to make sure that every member of that General Assembly, and there's a lot of new people, understand what Smart Start is, why it looks like what it does. But the most important thing is the difference it makes in the outcome of a child's life.
She's not the only one trying to educate the new state legislators. Andrew Henson is a policy analyst with the Civitas Institute, a conservative think tank.
I think that Smart Start does some good, but I think in the course of my investigation, I am led to believe that it could do better.
Henson says a better administrative structure could get more of the money directly to the families it serves. He also says eliminating programs within Smart Start would make more money available for child care subsidies. As an example, he points to a $70,000 program in Mecklenburg County called Raising a Reader that promotes daily book sharing.
It's a good service ostensibly, but when you can use that money to enable more children to have access to affordable child care, I think it's kind of an indefensible argument.
Henson says these are the kinds of cuts lawmakers should consider, and they'll need to find a lot of them to plug a $2.5 billion budget gap. The preliminary version of the Republican budget hints at even greater reductions, consolidating Smart Start and More at 4, or perhaps eliminating them altogether. Dr. Olson Huff says that would set the state back decades. He's been a pediatrician in Western North Carolina for more than 40 years, and he's now the board chair for the North Carolina Partnership for Children, which administers Smart Start.
We must not discard the infrastructures that we have built in these valuable programs just on the basis of current economic expediency. Because when this recession is over, and it will end, what will we have left if we have destroyed the infrastructure?
Other states are at the same crossroads. Arizona and Ohio have eliminated all funding for early childhood programs. Others, like New Jersey and Pennsylvania, are considering major cuts. Steve Barnett is the co-director of the National Institute for Early Education Research at Rutgers University. He says looking for short-term savings over long-term costs has a precedent.
Of course, that's exactly how many states got into problems with their pension funds. When we cut preschool, we're just kicking the can down the road and making those problems worse.
Barnett says that while state legislatures make cuts, other countries are going the opposite direction. Cities in China, like Shanghai, are adding universal quality preschool for all children. Developing countries like Mexico and Singapore are passing similar laws as well.
There is a global movement to preschool. They think education is their major advantage in terms of international competition.
Global competition isn't on Ann Thorpe's mind. She just knows her oldest daughter, Taylor, would be a different child if it wasn't for the chance she got to go to a high-quality preschool. Now, Taylor's in fourth grade.
She's a straight-A student. She is an amazing artist. She's smart. She's bright. She's funny. Oh, my goodness. I think it's like 10 light years away from what she used to be, you know. And honestly, I really, really don't think that she would have been where she is now if the people at Bright Beginnings haven't said, you know, hey, look, something's wrong.
Thorpe's other daughter, Paige, is in the More at Four program this year at Bright Beginnings. Depending on how the budget negotiations shake out, she could be among the last children served by North Carolina's early childhood programs. Dave DeWitt, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Dave DeWitt.